This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Now, Jesus is the word, and Jesus is the truth. And the Bible is the word, and the Bible is the truth. And this is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So, America, let's hear God's message. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 117, where we left off last time. Psalm 117, verse 1, where we left off last time. Okay, ready? Now, this particular psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms. And Deuteronomy in the Hebrew means these are the words. So these are the words of God. Now, I have explained to you, and in order for you to hear and receive God's word tonight, you need to get this straight. From Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, these psalms are called the Hallel Psalms. Hallel, like hallelujah, is Hebrew for praise the Lord. And they were always sung and are still to be sung at the Passover season. Psalm 113 and 114 are sung before the Passover feast. Psalm 115 through 118 are sung at the end of this. Now, we know the first Passover was in Egypt when the children of Israel were in slavery. And God told Moses to take a lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, kill the lamb, take the blood, and put it on the two side posts and the lintel of every door, which makes the sign of a cross. The Hebrew word is tav, which means cross. And God says, when I see the blood, death will pass over you. And of course, that was a prophecy of that when God sees the blood over your sins, eternal death will pass over you. And Paul tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So Jesus is our Passover. Now, remember that they sang this and they celebrated Passover. Did you know he said to celebrate Passover every forever and ever until Jesus returns? And of course, that should be what we call the word Easter. Easter is a pagan goddess of fertility. It's a mistranslation. It reads Passover. And of course, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. It should be called Passover. Now, here's what you need to know. At Jesus' Last Supper, he said, I have desired to eat this Passover with you, to have the Passover meal. So, Jesus went into the upper room. And because he is the word, and David calls him the chief musician, and he wrote the word, he would obey his own word, so we can rest assured that Jesus was singing these songs at his last supper. Isn't that something? Remember Matthew 26 says, and they sung an hymn and went out. Now, we're already up to 117 and 118. Now, to understand this lesson tonight, I want you to get in your mind a picture. There they are, Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus is having his last meal. When he goes out, he's going to go to the garden and pray. And he's going to be arrested and be crucified. So he's singing these songs. Now, these songs, these hymns, had been sung for every Passover, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. But there's a time when the word is written, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it, and one day it's time for the word to come true in your life. So you found a word for you, and you say it, and you pray it, and you say it, and you pray it, but there's a set time for it to come true. So Jesus is the Passover lamb. Think of him sitting there singing about his own crucifixion. Now, Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, so it has the shortest title, Praise.
Psalm 117, verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples.
The second praise there is the Hebrew word shabak, and it means extol, exhort. You heard me pray that while ago. Everybody say shabak. Okay, you've just said, I praise you, Lord. Shabbat. Okay, now listen. It's a word in Hebrew that only King David and his son Solomon used in the whole Bible. So while we think the psalm is anonymous, it tells us that King David wrote this.
Verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us.
Now, mercy, normally we think of that as being grace, unmerited favor. But merciful kindness in Hosea 6:6, mercy really goes back and is translated love. Now remember, there at the Last Supper, Jesus is singing this. There could be no mercy, there could be no grace, except he walk out of that door and let himself be crucified.
And the truth of the Lord endureth forever.
Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're told the word of God endures forever. Now, you heard my introduction. I said Jesus is the truth and Jesus is the word. And we just found the truth endures forever, the word endures forever. The Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, is the truth and the Bible is the word. Now, try to get this, wrap your brain around this. Before Jesus had a flesh body, before anyone was in the flesh, there was the word. What does the word do? It makes a sound. Before there was ever a book or the Biblia, the Bible in covers, there was the word. All of you and myself, we shall stand before Jesus. We shall see him face to face. Now, I want to expand your vision of Jesus. He's expanding mine as I look up at the sky. Okay, we think of Jesus as that man because he did take on a flesh body. We see kind Jesus with the beard and walking with a long gown, and we know that he just was the precious person. And we see the Bible in a book. But let's expand our consciousness. When you stand before him as he judges you, what are you going to see? Revelation chapter 1 and also Daniel gives us quite a description. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. In a recent psalm, we said he clothes himself with light as with a garment. So we know that his garment is light. So here, when we stand before him, we're going to see, instead of that robe in those pictures, we see this light. The golden girdle represents truth. We see the rays of gold wrapping him around. Look up at the sky sometime. Look at the light and see the gold. And then it says, his head and his hair white as wool, as white as snow. Okay, this is a white that no fuller's soap can ever get. It is so white, it's shimmering, it is so beautiful. There we have light wrapped in beautiful gold and white. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire, piercing fire. And his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. Fire, light, white, truth, Jesus. And it says, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So his mouth is the Word, Jesus. Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Ephesians 6 says, the sword is the Word of God. So Jesus and the Word, which we have separated into a man and a book, are the same. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I agree. Now we come to Psalm 118. Now this will be the last of these Passover hymns, and Jesus is singing this. Now think of Jesus. He is about to let himself be crucified. He has written this scripture, and he is the one in the scripture, the sacrifice. So think about his emotions as he sings it. I believed, therefore have I spoken, we learned last time. He sings it, and as he sings it, it comes to pass.
Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because because his mercy endureth forever.
And Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and he said, take ye, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. He said, drink ye this. This is my blood, the covenant of the new covenant, which is given for the remission of sins. And because I'm giving my body, and because I'm giving my blood, my mercy shall endure forever. There could be no mercy, there could be no grace, except he did what he was about to do as he sang the song, go out and be the Passover lamb.
Verse 2, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever.
Okay, Israel represents all 12 tribes. So Jesus is going to be very inclusive. Everybody who's one of the tribes, let's say it. His mercy endureth forever.
Verse 3, let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever.
Aaron is the priesthood. All of you who are pastors, preachers, missionaries, ministers, teachers out on the air, cyberspace, let's say it. His mercy endureth forever.
For let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever.
Now this is whosoever will, Gentile, if you love the Lord. In other words, whosoever will may come, Jesus says. He's saying, I'm about to pay the sacrifice, yes, for my chosen 12 tribes, yes, for the priesthood, and yes, for whosoever will may come. And so let us all say it. His mercy endureth forever.
5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place.
The Hebrew manuscripts read, the Lord answered me and he answered me with deliverance. He delivered me. Jesus then, after Judas betrayed him, and they sang the hymn and went out, he went to the garden, and Jesus prayed great big sweat drops of blood. He was in great agony. Jesus was not afraid to go to the cross. It was for the joy set before him he came. He came to die to pay the sin debt. It was because of the cup that he agonized, the cup of wrath with which he is coming back at the seventh trump to pour that cup of wrath on everyone who rejects him. The reason he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, was it wasn't because he was afraid of the cross. He knew that once he paid the sin debt, that when he comes back at the seventh trump, he's coming soon after the Antichrist, that he's going to pour that cup of wrath on everyone who rejects him. That'll be so final. And he loves all of his children, and he hated to do that. And that's why he said that. The Bible says that angels came and ministered to Jesus. God gave him strength. God gave him a song. And God gave him the strength to do that for which he came, to die, to defeat death, whose name is the devil, for you, world, for you.
6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
Now, sometimes you feel like you're about to be crucified. Romans 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's say that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, in Hebrews 13, Paul said, I'm not going to fear. The Lord is my helper. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, fear not him who can kill your body, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell.
7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me.
This is such a beautiful verse. We are one body of Christ. We are many-membered body of Christ, but we are one. What he says here, every time, just you little member of the body of Christ, when you help another member of the body of Christ to get Jesus and the Word out to the world, God helps you. Kind of like God's law of reciprocity. Ephesians 6:8, he says, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So you see, we're many-membered body. We're supposed to cry when the other cries. We're supposed to rejoice when the other cries. When you have something in your hand and the other one needs it, you give it. I always do that. I don't say, okay, let me take this much out for me. I just give it and I trust God. That's what a body does. Your toe really wants the heart to help it out, you see.
Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me.
Now, in other words, Jesus, of course, Jesus is about to see himself crucified. He's about to defeat death. It looks like Jesus is the victim, but Jesus is actually the victor because he came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. He's using covert activity. But Jesus says, I'm going to see my desire on my enemy, because at the end of the millennium, in the future, the devil, who really was the one responsible for Jesus being crucified for all of our sins, is going to walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels and walk into and blaze up there. Now, we're also told in Psalm 105, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Be careful about saying anything against a man or woman of God. You have no concept what it's like to be called and chosen. You have no idea how God jerks you around and how your life is given away. And he says, it were better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you would drown in the depths of the sea than hurt one of my little ones, the elect. So even though Christian, some of you pastors and preachers, we get so persecuted for righteousness' sake, you never take vengeance. God says he prepares a table for you before the enemies. They are going to see that you love, that God loves you. They're going to see that. And everybody's going to see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Now, as Jesus sings this, I am sure he thought of Judas. Jesus loved Judas. Satan had gotten into Judas. And he had even trusted Judas with a bag. He was the treasurer. But Judas betrayed him. Do you betray Jesus? Are you ashamed of his name? Do you bite your tongue at your workplace, the marketplace, in your family? Then you're betraying him too.
9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
The kings of Judah and of Israel had a terrible habit of going down to Egypt for help every time the nation got in trouble, and Egypt was representing heathen. One time they even went to the Assyrian for help, and he is a type of the Antichrist. The United States of America, the large bulk of the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, which is split from the house of Judah, migrated into Europe over the Atlantic Ocean into America, and our government is going to our enemy China for money, and they want to control us and make us speak Mandarin Chinese. Don't ever put your confidence in the government. Put your trust in God.
10, all nations encompassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them.
When Jesus was on the cross, he taught Psalm 22. And one of the things he said when he was on the cross, the bulls of Bashan encompass me about. Bulls of Bashan in the Hebrew means magnificent animals. This means the Kenites. You must know it. The only type two churches that please Jesus at the end time will tell you this. Kenites. They are the offspring of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. When the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, low down like a snake, beguiled Eve, wholly seduced her, and Cain was the product. It was the Kenites who say they are Judah, we love our brother Judah, but are not the synagogue of Satan. They said, crucify him, and they circle Jesus about. But those same Kenites, except they repent with their father the devil, and all who reject Jesus at the end of the millennium will walk into the lake of fire and perish from within, turn to ashes from within, in Jesus' mighty name. Thus saith the Lord.
11, they compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them.
Little David was a teenager, and he loved the Lord with all his heart. And his dad, Jesse, sent him out to the Israelitish armies under King Saul's government to check on his older brothers and to take them some food. When David got there, he found all of the Israelite soldiers, his brothers and King Saul, whimpering and quaking in their boots. because there was this great big hybrid giant. His father was a fallen angel and his mother was a human. That's what a giant is. And he's 9 feet 6 inches tall. And he saw him yell out to the Israelites, "Send somebody to fight me. And when I kill your warrior, then I will have you." And David says, I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And so he started going with his 5 little smooth stones he picked up with his slingshot toward Goliath. Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you send this youth to me?" And Goliath said, "I will give your head to the buzzards, the birds today." And little David said, "You come to me with a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Yahweh, in the name of the God of the host of the armies of Israel, Elohim." And David took just one stone. It only takes one stone, the chief cornerstone, the stone which the builders rejected, to absolutely dick the devil. And I'm sure David had that heavenly host helping him. That stone went right into Goliath's brain, and David cut his head off. When you elected to live it up to the Antichrist, that's coming up at the 6th trump. We're in the 5th trumpet now. The elect will be delivered up. It'll be the small part of the body of Christ. The whole world will go after the Antichrist thinking he's Jesus. Half the church will go after him thinking he's Jesus. When the elect are delivered up, when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, once again, that stone's going to bruise the devil's head. That's why he calls you in Daniel the bruisers.
12, they compassed me about like bees. They are quenched like fire of thorns.
Bees swarm. Locusts swarm. In Revelation 9, we're told about the locust. In the Minor Prophets, we're told about the locust. It's a prophecy. It's not real locusts. It's groups of warriors getting together, swarming. And so we've been seeing this for the past 4 years, well, past 2 years, 3 years by now. And there are 4 stages of the locust army. The Old Testament, the Minor Prophets tell us that. Now, the Isis that you see swarming and killing everything in their past, that is a part of the locust army. And that is an advanced stage of the locust army, and they swarm like bees, like locusts, and they kill everything in their pathway. There will be one more stage of the locust army, and that is recorded in Revelation 12, when Satan is kicked out of heaven and those fallen angels with him. When Satan's coming in the sky, and you'll think he's Jesus, and the fallen angels with him, that's the final stage of the locust army. So they swarm. But he says they'll be quenched like fire, with like thorns in a fire. If you have put thorns in a fire, it's a quick blaze. Quench there means to blaze up. Now, who is the thorn? The big thorn tree is the devil, and the little thorns are the Kenites, okay? In the book of Judges, Judges chapter 9, the thorn tree, called the bramble tree, went to all the other kings of the forest, all the other trees of the forest. All of the trees were seeking a king. God calls you a tree. You're a tree of righteousness. So the bramble tree, the thorn tree, said, "Make me your king, and you may hide under my shadow. You may make me your shade." Well, now that's a lie, just like a politician, because a thorn tree has no leaves, so it casts no shade. That's where the politicians get it. If you like my shade, you can keep my shade. Thorns of fire, lake of fire.
"For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them."
Now that's how you defeat the devil. Luke 10, round about 18:19, tells you, Christian, listen, Christian, Jesus says, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Some of you Christians just lie down and let the devil have his way with you. What kind of a fighter are you? Get up and fight. Say it is written, mean it with your mouth and your heart. In Jesus' name, say the name, and then quote the scripture. There you've got the word and the truth, or the devil can't stand that. Amen. Shoot him in the head. Cut his head off.
Yes.
13, thou hast thrust sore at me.
The word sore there in the Hebrew is dakar, and it means push down, pummeled. Indeed, Jesus fell to the ground under the weight of the cross. And anyone who is truly serving the Lord Jesus will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. The enemy knows the elect, and his bullets are coming, and you never know where they come from. Sometimes they come from an enemy, and sometimes they come from someone who worships with you. And so that they're always coming. And his whole ploy is to push you down so that you don't get up. So Jesus fell to the ground under the weight of the cross, and he was crucified.
I might fall, but the Lord helped me.
The Lord certainly did help Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah.
14, the Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation.
This is too beautiful. This is poetry. Oh, just so great. Let's say it. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. He gives you strength. He gives you a song in the night. Salvation, Jesus, Yahweh, Savior.
15, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous.
Now, he just made a great statement there. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, he was quoting Psalm 22. So when you read 22, Jesus decided to focus on the joy set before him rather than the miserable present, which is a good thing to do. So he looked down the corridors of time at us sitting here, worship him and rejoicing. Now, there's something wrong, Christian, if you've always got a long face. I know they're troubled. I am the king, queen of troubles. If anybody has ever been through it all, I have. There isn't anything you can tell me that I haven't been through. We have been through hell and back, and we're still standing. And I've learned how. Now, you're supposed to have joy. Galatians says, Christian, that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. If you have the Holy Spirit, Christian, then you've got a fruit inside of you called joy. But some of you have never even seen that joy. You sit with your long face and you sit defeated and you forget that Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead and he's coming again and has given you eternal life and that you have power over the devil. Now, how do you get the joy? Jesus is rejoicing. I mean, see how bad it is? He's going to die and he's happy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Here's how you do it. In his presence is fullness of joy. Well, how do you get his presence? You know why everybody comes here and goes out better than they were? His presence is here. But see, I just played the piano and sang. I don't know about the rest of you, but I was worshiping the Lord. I was praising him. He was there. He touched my head. And I got joy. I forgot my troubles. I forgot my aches and pains. I forgot the miserable things that are coming at me. Because I have joy unspeakable and full of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. So what do? You praise him. Everybody say, praise him.
Praise.
Okay, that's how you get the joy. I don't mean to say, praise the Lord, praise. Here's someone, here's the way, so praise the Lord, praise. I'll say, everybody say, y'all think, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That is so sick. My Lord, have mercy. Lukewarm, he spits you out of your mouth. Praise him with your heart. Just praise him. And his presence, he says in Psalm 22, inhabits the praises of his people. Now, once his presence is there, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So you praise him, you have his presence. When you've got your presence, you've got the joy. Now you get a bonus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why Jesus could say, the Lord is my strength. He praised his own Father, and he got his presence, and he got the joy, and he got his strength. You can do the same thing.
The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
Jesus arose from the dead. When it was time for him to ascend back to heaven, he went and sat at the right hand of the Father, our high priest, touched by our infirmities, knowing what it's like to hurt, knowing what it's like to be called a false prophet, knowing what it's like to be betrayed by people you've just given so many pearls. And he ever lives to make intercession for you. Doeth valiantly, he's the victor.
16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly.
This time they word Shabak, they translated it correctly, exalted. So he is Shabak. He is exalted. Jesus is coming at the seventh trump. He's not going to be crucified this time. He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. and every eye shall see him, and all nations, and they that pierce him, and all shall wail because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus is the victory. Now, we'll pick that up next time, but right now, it's time for Mystery Moment. Now, Jesus comes at the seventh trump. A trump is an event. The Antichrist, who's coming very soon, comes at the sixth trump. The Antichrist is the instead of Jesus. Anti means instead of. He's going to pretend to be Jesus and fool the whole world and half the body of Christ. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question and answer time. Question number one. Dear Sherry, does the Bible promise us longevity in the flesh? Yes, it does. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. For those of you who have trouble remembering where the Ten Commandments are, think Ten Commandments and think it twice. 2 times 10 is 20. The fifth commandment there says, excuse me, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, basically the same thing, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. Now, when you get right down to it, he promised us 70 years and perhaps 80. And then when he's using us, really, he gives even more, but not too many more. That is such a short little dot of time in the eternity. But he gives you time to, first of all, make Jesus your Lord, and gives you time to grow in his word, and he gives you time to get in your place in the body of Christ. Many of you are out of place, out of joint, to get in your place so the whole body of Christ can move together in one beautiful dance. Okay. Next question. Dear Sherry, in Genesis 2, it says that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I understand that, but does that have anything to do with the marriage supper of the Lamb, with Jesus as the bridegroom and we, the Christians, as the bride? Absolutely. His story is a love story. Remember when Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, he said, he was praying for us, he said, that they may be one as we are one. He was always saying, the Father and I are one. Now, we were with God in a spiritual body. Sin separated us. So Jesus breaks the veil and we go back. When a man and woman get married, here's the man and here's the woman, and they come together, and he gets his rib back. But rib in the manuscript means curve, so I'll leave it right there. But they're back whole again. So when Jesus says this, he says, I am in you, and you are in me. There is a beautiful love story in that. When you can get so that you are in Christ, in Jesus, 24 hours a day, you won't be so longing for everything else to come in. He satisfies your longing. The Father and I are one. What a story. What a love story. Okay, the next question. Dear Sherry Trumpet, it says that Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the tares. I understand the wheat are God's children, but who are the tares? Matthew 13, Jesus speaks of the tares. He said, while men slept, an enemy came in and sowed them. The tares, he says, are the children of the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? The devil. The word children there means sperm, real live child. In other words, Satan beguiled Eve, and the product is Cain. Cain's children are the Kenites. That's absolutism. So you understand that they are the tares. Now, I will say this. A Kenite can be saved. It's more difficult to win one of them to the Lord because they have that DNA of the devil and of Cain in them. But they can be saved. Whosoever will may come. Okay. Dear Sherry, did Jesus ever actually speak of Cain's father as being the devil? Yes, he did. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, start reading about verse 42, 43, 44. Jesus was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat. They pretended to be our brother Judah, but they weren't. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. I know somebody's checking my scripture, so I'm giving it out to you. And, of course, they were the Kenites. And Jesus said unto them, "Ye are of your father the devil." Can't get any clearer than that, can you? That's what he told them. And the word "of" there means real live children. And then he said he was a murderer from the beginning. Who was the first murderer? Cain. Now you say, wait a minute. He says the devil's their father, and then he says Cain's their father. Okay, in the Bible, there are no grandparents. In other words, the grandparent of the Kenites would be the devil. So he just says that's their father. That's the way that works. Okay, I hope that helps you. Separate the wheat from the tares. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Dear Sherry, let's see. When the Antichrist comes, is he going to come killing people, like all those books and movies say? No, that's the trick. Daniel chapter 8 says the Antichrist, remember, he's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He comes in peacefully with lying flatteries. He will say peace and safety and cause craft to prosper. Look at the world now. Everybody's scared to death. So the devil's going to come in the sky pretending to be Jesus and say peace. Well, aren't we looking for Jesus to come and say peace? Okay, see, he's an imposter. Six comes before seven. And so the Antichrist, of course, is coming to pretend to be Jesus. No, he's going to deceive the whole world. They're going to worship him. He's going to solve ISIS. He's going to solve the Mideast. He's going to solve Russia. He's going to solve Germany. He's going to solve America. And he's going to give you all that you want if you'll just worship him. That's all you have to do is call him Jesus. It'll be a big revival in the Christian church. Those fallen angels will be preaching. No, peace and safety cause craft to prosper. See, that's the trick. See, everybody's looking for the Antichrist to come and blow up buildings. No, that's his children doing it now. It's a setup so he can come and say, peace, be still. And somebody supernatural coming and say that now, the whole world would bow, wouldn't they? Except you, elect. You know the word. Six comes before seven. Six comes before seven. Okay. Now, I want to say a little word here to all of you who are sick. Here's a little poem the Holy Spirit gave me about the body. And it says this, "We are the body. Jesus is the head. Body come alive because the head is not dead." Okay, I thank you so much for your applause. That was really great. I appreciate that you like that. Now, for those of you who are sick, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back after he went out singing that psalm. And the Bible tells us, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, "With his stripes we are healed." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. It still works. So, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, all over America, men, women, boys and girls, wherever there is pain, I say pain stop now in the name of Jesus. Cancer, you just absolutely stop. Be gone from the body. Thyroids be healed. Lungs be healed. Hearts be healed. Kidneys, bladders, in Jesus' mighty name. Legs, get up out of the wheelchair and walk in the name of Jesus. Those of you who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, I set you free in the name and the power of Jesus. Alcohol, needy, go, 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 go. Be healed in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Oh, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I give you glory. You are Yahweh Rapha. You are the God who heals. I thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, for any of you who are not saved, this is the time to accept Jesus. Tomorrow may be too late. So let's pray this prayer and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I confess I have sinned.
I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt.
I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt.
Lord Jesus, save me.
Lord Jesus, save me.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your Word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me. To enlarge your
territory.
I am yours. I belong to you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, you might like to call me. You'll get my voicemail. My school, Sherry Medlock School, 321-632-4631. My announcer will give you that again at the end of this program. And you might also want to call me for me to you. I cannot return long-distance calls. I don't have any money. I do all of this for free. So, but just leave your message there, your prayer request, and call me. You also might like to call me to tell me you enjoy my radio program. That would mean a lot to me. I invite you to come to my school every Sunday, 5 p.m., Word, Prayer, and Healing. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word, Prayer, and Healing. Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 916 Florida Avenue, Cocoa, Florida, Sherry Medlock School. Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. I love you. God bless you. Now listen, think about Yeshua. Think about Jesus. And remember this. It's from Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you. And see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
A bridge that needs crossing. There's always the straight and the narrow, the wide and the shallow. But I know that you're guiding me, and the best is yet to come. You've given me hope for tomorrow, and I know someday I wake up to find your glory. Never a moment without your prayer.